I'd like to greet everybody that's here today, again, our guests especially, and those that are watching us live stream. May God bless His Word as you hear it today and as you worship with us on a special day when we commemorate the work of Jesus Christ for us on a cross. I'm reading from Ephesians today. We continue our series on walking worthy of the calling with which God has called us, and today we read beginning with verse 30. We are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and will be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Paul's been talking to us, and Paul's been teaching us about submission. That is a key characteristic of the life of, or in the life of a believer, or in the walk of a believer. Our life and our walk is to be one and the same, Paul teaches us in Ephesians 4:1. And here, for beginning with verse 22, Paul has been contrasting the church of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ for his church and the leadership of Jesus Christ of his church. Paul's been comparing and contrasting this as an illustration for what an ideal marriage is. We find in verse 21 that the key is submission, and it is a word that means to voluntarily, willingly, lovingly allow yourself to be led by somebody else that is in a position of authority over you. This occurs not only in the church. This not only should occur in the church where Jesus Christ is the head of his church, but this should occur in every marriage where the husband is the head or the leader of his wife. And this is a God-ordained structure of authority and leadership and headship, verse 23 and 24, that God has set up for his divine glory. Verse 22, several weeks ago or a month ago, Paul taught us about the role of wives is to voluntarily, willingly, lovingly line themselves up under the spiritual leadership of their husbands. Who, verse 25, their duty is to love their wives. Husbands, Christian husbands, our duty is to love our wives the way Jesus Christ loves the church. And we had several messages where we saw that this love of Christ is agape love. This is God's love. This is the kind of love we are to love our wives with. This is the love with which Christ loves his church, the bride, the body of Christ. This love that Jesus has for the church, it's giving and it's sacrificial. We read in verse 25 that Jesus loved the church to the point of death, where he voluntarily, lovingly, willingly gave himself for us. Verse 26 and 27, this agape love that Jesus loved the church with. Husbands, Christian husbands, those of you here today, this love that we're supposed to have for our wives is a purifying love. Why did Jesus give himself for the church? To sanctify, to set her apart, to make it holy, so it would be clean and pure and spotless and glorious. Christ's agape love for the church. Husbands, our love for our wives, verse 28 and 29, is supposed to be caring and not at all selfish. Just as we love ourselves and our bodies and take care of our bodies, we are to express the same amount of care and nurturing and caring for our wives. And so marriage and the church, what Paul is showing us here, beginning with verse 30 on our text today, it is a unit of one. The church is one, even though it's made up of many individual members, but we are part of one body. The same is true of a relationship in marriage. The church is a picture, it's a model of marriage that God himself designed, and he illustrates for us daily in the way he cares for the church. Marriage, just like the church, is a union. And Paul will show us two principles here in our text today about the permanence, the unity, and the indivisibility of marriage and the church. Part of this relationship, Paul says, it's hard to understand in the Old Testament. It was mysterious. They did not understand the coming structure of the church. But in the New Testament, Paul reveals and opens up to us what the mystery of the church was. The church being one made up of Jews and Gentiles. Церковь едина, одно тело из иудеев, также из еленов, из тех, которые Господь, которые однажды были далеки от друг друга, приблизил и примирил друг с другом и с собой. And so, this worthy walk, this submissive walk, where wives submit to husbands and husbands love their wives, the first spiritual truth that we need to understand in verse 31 is that marriage, it's unique and it's separate than any other relationship you may have in the world. And this union and this marriage and this relationship, this structure of authority, it begins on the day you get married. And Paul, going all the way back to Genesis, when God created the first marriage, quotes Genesis. And he says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother. And he will become joined. He will become cemented. He will become super glued to his wife. And from that moment, a new structure of authority begins. The husband, the wife, prior to marriage, were in submission and under authority of the families where they lived, their parents. But now they leave these two families and they come together and they form their own new unit that is separate and apart from the parents. The husband becomes the spiritual leader of this new unit. The wife willingly, lovingly follows submissively the spiritual leadership of this ideal husband that her husband, that Jesus Christ has given to her. I'm not talking about ending your relationship with your parents. I'm not talking about ending your friendship with other couples, with other people, with other friends that you had prior to marriage. But what I am saying is now you are subject to one another. And not to the relationships that you were in before. And family and friends and family, you also need to realize that marriage of your children is now a new unit. And you are not to try to influence or control them or get into their daily lives. They need to live their lives under the leadership of the Holy Spirit that fills us and makes us submissive to one another. And that is the cause of a lot of strife and misery in many marriages, where outside influences come in, where we allow outside influences to come in, and we submit ourselves to these influences rather than submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, according to the model that God gives us of how Christ loves His church. Marriage is a voluntary entering into this relationship. Until you enter into the marriage, you're not submissive to one another. But once you do, once you say, I do, then you are. And God honors this new separate unit of marriage that has been established. And it is a permanent one. And God says, what God has joined together, let no one tear apart. Malachi 2:16. God says, I hate divorce. Did you know that God hates certain things? We are supposed to love the things God loves, and we are supposed to hate the things God hates. And one of the things God hates is when people interfere in what He has established. When God created Adam and Eve in the world, who interfered in that first marriage? It was Satan himself. And he disrupted that beautiful union that existed. And as a result of that, women and Eve now wanted to dominate her husband. And God says, that will not be so. I have established this authority and this structure of headship. You will rebel against it, but the husband will rule over you. And in the New Testament, just as Christ rules the church, we find this structure of authority set up. Matthew 19:6, what God has joined together, do not let men separate. the marriage, just like the church, is a unit of one. Husband joins his wife, and they both physically and emotionally and spiritually become one. Just like the church is one body made up of many individual members. Those of you that come to Bible Hour in Romans in chapter 6, we studied the idea and the principle that Paul teaches us that with the Holy Spirit, each one of us has been joined and has been baptized into the body of Jesus Christ, and now we are one body. Церковь едина, одно тело, которое состоится из много индивидуальных членов, но тело одно, точно так, как и брак. Genuine love, the love that the husband has for his wife who willingly is submissive to him, is unconditional love. It's permanent love. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when Paul talks about love. The primary characteristic of love is that love never fails. In other words, love has no boundaries. It doesn't have a beginning. It doesn't have an end. It loves and loves and loves and never stops. And that's a picture of how God loves us. And just like God hates divorce, and just how God does not want people meddling into marriage, in the same way, God wants His church to be united, to be one. This whole chapter and chapter 4 talked about the body of Christ coming together. God gives the church pastors and teachers to teach you so that we would grow up and mature. For what purpose? To minister, to care for one another. Just like in marriage, we care and minister to each other. We have two examples in Scripture I'd like to bring our attention to today that show us the tragedy and the blessedness of marriage. The first story is the story of Jacob and Rebekah, remember? Isaiah and Rebekah. We read in Genesis 24, remember when the servant went and he brought Rebekah back. And when Jacob loved her, he loved her at first sight. And it says that his mother, Sarah, had just recently died. And it says that he took Rebekah to be his wife. And it says that he loved her. Genesis chapter 24. Go home and read it. Sadly, we find that Jacob was a very weak-willed man. He did not have much of an authority or leadership capacity. He was very submissive to Rebekah rather than Rebekah being submissive to him. And as time went on, their marriage, instead of growing in love, it deteriorated. One time, because Isaac was afraid that Abimelech might kill him, he actually said that Rebekah is my sister, she's not my wife. Remember last time we said that marriage is nurturing and caring, where the husband protects the wife from all outside sources. Isaac, he cared more for himself than he did about his wife. He was more afraid that they would kill him rather than his wife would end up being in Abimelech's harem, or one of the men from his country would take her. Rebekah probably never forgot this. And so she began to focus her love and her attention on her son, her second-born son, Jacob. What did Isaac do? He began to focus his love on food. And Esau, who brought to him the food he loved. And so their focus changed from each other and from God to something that was temporary. And we know the tragic result where Jacob, under the leadership of his mother Rebekah, they connived and they got together and they tricked Isaac. There's another story, it's a more beautiful picture, the story of Hosea. Go home and read the whole prophet of Hosea. God tells Hosea to go and take himself a wife. And this wife becomes unfaithful. She becomes adulterous. And she not only becomes adulterous, but she begins to have children from other men and keeps bringing them to Hosea. And then she actually becomes a harlot and she sells herself on the open market. And she becomes a slave and is sold on the slave market. And God tells Hosea to keep loving her. And Hosea keeps loving her and forgiving her. And loving her and forgiving her. And loving her and forgiving her. And this is a picture of how Christ loves us. And how Christ loves the church. Despite our adulterous relationship with Him and continuous sin. And finally, Hosea goes and he buys her on the market. And he takes her back and he loves her and he forgives her. And God restores the marriage. You see the contrast. What kind of husband are you? Are you loving your wife with the love that God loves the church, that Christ loves His church? Are you leading your wife with nourishment, with care, spiritual leadership, the way Christ does His church? Verse 33 ends, he says, let each of you in particular, everyone, his own wife, not some other man's wife, your wife, love her like you do yourself. And wives, final reminder, Paul says, respect your husbands. The word is, if your husband is the kind of man that God has given to you, if he's a godly man, if he is a one-woman man, as Paul writes to Timothy, that pastors have to be totally focused and dedicated to their wives. When your husband loves you that way, you are to put him up on a pedestal and to look at him as the spiritual head and leader in your family that God has established you. Otherwise, your marriage, like Esau and Rebekah, will deteriorate. The love will fade. The emotions and the feelings will fade. And you will substitute something else for the real and for the genuine. And this is a picture of the church. Every single one of us that are here today, what is your love towards Jesus Christ? Are you willingly and submissively submitting yourself to the leadership of Jesus Christ as evidenced to your pastors and teachers that teach you the Word of God on a weekly basis? My prayer is that, as Paul says, we would fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit, which empowers and enables us to live this kind of life. Amen.